Our scripture this morning is from Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. And if you have a pew Bible, that is on page 1820. And please stand for the reading of God's word. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Well, good morning, saints, and good morning, sinners. Oh, how we have been blessed with beautiful music today. Barry, thank you for stepping in as Rick is away on vacation, for our instrumentalists, for Carolyn and Matt, and for Addison, who sang so beautifully, Alexa, who prayed so wonderfully, Joshua, as he read the Word of God with such conviction. It's so good to be with the people of God who lets the people of God stand up and proclaim his goodness. Let's pray together. Almighty God, fill us up with the fullness of God today. We feel incomplete. Sometimes so overwhelmed, sometimes underwhelmed. We feel we live in a bipolar world emotionally. We need the steady who is you, that rock that does not quake, the one whose arms are underneath us, drawing us to you. Lead us, O God, to where you want us to be even during this service. In the strong and holy name of Jesus, amen. On two occasions, I have traveled overseas to lead in a missions effort. The first time was in Moldova. There we would go house to house, door to door, sharing the plan of salvation. So many would say, well, I'm Orthodox. And I would say, well, I'm Baptist, but I'm more interested, do you know Jesus? We would preach, we would teach. It was the only mission trip I was able to go with my father overseas and to see him proclaim God's word there among the people. I shall never forget that. A year later, I traveled over to Romania, this time to lead an apologetics conference. I'm nowhere in this man's category of apologetics, but they could find no one else. So they asked if I would do it. And we would go from city hall to church to small arenas, and there I would proclaim Jesus and attempt to answer questions based on God's word that the Romanian people were facing. There were interpreters beside me in Romania, there were interpreters beside me in Moldova, but there was only one time that they would never translate for me. One time. It was not when I was preaching. It was not when I was teaching. It was not in one-on-one communication. The one time that in Moldova or Romania they would never translate is when I would say, let us pray. There was something so sacred to the interpreters that it was almost untranslatable. Not because of my religiosity, but because of what prayer is, intimate communication between one of God's children to the Father in heaven. So today, I feel I am on extremely holy ground. How do you take a passage of Scripture that from the first word to the end is one elongated prayer? One elongated prayer. And to boot, it's the second time in three chapters that Paul has gone into the language and reality of prayer. Once at the beginning or the end of chapter 1, and now at the end of chapter 3. And when you consider the breakdown of the book of Ephesians, it's amazing. The first three chapters are intensely theological. Paul is trying to describe this unity that is emerging between Gentiles and Jews, and that a barrier has been broken down because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And in these first three chapters, intensely theological, where God is at the center, he erupts into rhapsodious prayer. The last three chapters are intensely practical. That's usually how Paul writes, theological and practical, because both are extremely important. So this prayer that we have before us is an intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer, where Paul is taking the church at Ephesus to God in prayer, and he's letting them know how he is praying for them. This prayer is rich in God. So I say to you that what we are about to exegete is Paul's attempt at holy worship to God on behalf of his people. And what I want to say to you today is I believe that if you have someone that you need to pray for, someone that is concerned in your life that you're going there on the wrong path, or else you're praying for them to find focus and clarity, or else you're praying for them simply because you love them, whatever the reason, I say to you, here is a model, here is a paradigm. So I invite you to take your bulletin and jot down just a few notes. Let's begin with the opening part of this prayer, the first two verses. It is, to whom does Paul address this prayer? He said, I kneel before the Father. Now, in antiquity, among the practicing Jewish people who worshiped God in the temple, the way to worship and pray was this. You stood, and you would have open hands like this. But what Paul was saying here is that on behalf of his people, as he takes them to God, he is so overwhelmed that he falls to his knees in utter humility before God. That was his posture of prayer. His only hope was in God Almighty. And then he has this curious phrase in verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Just as God has numbered all the stars in heaven and named all of them, so has the Father in heaven named every family in heaven and on earth. No one escapes God Almighty. That is who you as a believer pray to. He knows every family, every nation, every nationality, indeed every individual by name. This is the embrace of the Father. Now, what Paul does from verse 14 to verse 19, if you look in the Greek New Testament, it's one sentence. One sentence. Here again, in his second prayer, just like his first prayer, he's caught up in this rhapsody. He's overwhelmed that words are just flowing from his heart and his soul to his pen. And so when you read and exegete this, you will have commentators say, well, there's three petitions, there's four petitions. Some have even named six petitions. Why? Because this language is so intense. It is so rich. It almost defies interpretation. But what I would point out to you are what I believe are four petitions. And I believe each petition can be a model for you to use in your intercessory prayer, because prayer changes things. And when we name people in our prayers and take them specifically to God, I think we have the possibility for great change. Now look at the first petition in chapter 3, verse 16. It goes like this. Out of his glorious riches, our God is a rich and glorious God, that God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. This is a prayer for power. That out of God and his magnanimous world and his glorious riches, he wants to give us power in our inner being. Look at the second petition. It's found in verse 19. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is the second petition. Now imagine that you are praying for someone who strayed from the faith. You pray that this one who has power and wants to give power in the inner being will do that so that Christ may dwell in them through faith. Third petition, verses 17 through 19. Listen at this. I pray that being rooted, everyone needs roots. Without roots, we perish. Rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's people. Now, so we're not in this alone, are we? We're together with all God's people. To grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know, now this is interesting, to know that this love surpasses knowledge. How can you know that something surpasses knowledge? You see what Paul is doing here. And then the fourth petition is this, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. May be filled up completely with God. Underline these petitions. Pray this over your children. Pray this over your mate. Pray this over your girlfriend and your boyfriend. Pray this over the one at work that is causing you pain and agony that you believe is stabbing you behind the back. God knows them by name too. Now, there's two words I want to point out quickly. Did you notice how in these four petitions, two words keep emerging? One is power. Power. Now, verse 16, out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Look back with me in chapter 1, verse 19. This is the first prayer. In verse 19, we read in part of God's incomparably great power for those who believe. And then look in verses 19 and 20, and we'll see what this power is. Listen at this for those of us who feel powerless in this world. That power, meant for you and me as believers, is the same as the mighty strength that God exerted. Are you ready for this? When he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. That power that God wants for us to grasp in our inner being is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. This is what we have at our disposal. But what's happened is, somehow, we have adopted the world's way of power. That if you know the right people, have the right resources, have the right look, maybe a little God will help along the way. If you face addiction, and there are people that face addiction, if you face marital issues, if your children are causing you great concern, if your world is falling apart, take hold of this prayer. God wants to fill you with the power that raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him at the right hand of God. The other word is this. The word is love. Love. Being rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God. The love of God is wide enough to reach the whole world and beyond. It's long enough to stretch from eternity to eternity. It's high enough to raise both the Jews and the Gentiles to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's deep enough to rescue you and me from the deepest pit of sin that we can imagine. There is no place so deep that God's hand is not deeper still. On one occasion, a Baptist historian named Walter Sheridan asked a colleague of his, Fisher Humphreys, another Baptist theologian, what would be a great subtitle to the Bible? The Bible, colon. What would be the subtitle? What would you put as a subtitle to the Bible? What would you put as a subtitle to the Bible? Humphreys thought for a moment and then he said this. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. We ask for you to pray this summer for all of the events that have taken place. On Thursday a week ago, 16 adults from around 10 churches gathered at the Larry Bagwell complex to share with 23 basketball campers who had filled out a card saying, I have questions about the faith, or I'm ready to receive Christ, or that we thought, based on how they filled out the card, were confused. We went one on one. Bibles open, side by side, sharing the greatest story ever told. Of the 23 that we talked to, never pressuring, always loving. 12 of those precious campers crossed over from death to life. On numerous occasions, and this is the first time it's happened in the 16 years of our camp, when they came out of the gym and sat down with their counselor, numerous ones of them said, "Let's get on with this, I'm ready." Well, we still shared with them. On one example, a young fellow from another state, and we've had him from California to Chicago to Virginia to Florida, all beyond, all around. This little fellow had caused us concern all week long. He was here from another state because of a terrible situation at home. I sought to understand what was going on in his home, and so I made the necessary calls, and then we watched him, we observed him. Gym monitors zeroed in on him. Counselors were aware not only to watch his behavior, but to pray over him. And on Thursday, that little fella from such a disturbed home that no one should ever have to go into. He invited Christ into his heart. This week, we had the holy privilege of hosting the Better Skills Community Basketball Camp. 50 participants, numerous adults, including many from our church who were here every day. I sat them down at the end of the week and I said, "Did you enjoy your camp?" Oh, and they just started clapping. They started hollering. And I said, "Do you want to come back next year?" They got all beside themselves. All beside themselves. They knew that we loved them. And then yesterday, 300 plus baseball players from the Senior League World Series came into our church from Italy, Africa, Australia, the Caribbean, Canada, Saipan, and teams from Michigan, Waco, Texas, and Florida. All were in our church. I tell you, we greeted them from the time they stepped their foot off the bus to the time they walked in the door. We fed them a meal that they talked about and expressed gratitude. We served them. They had to sit there. They never had to get back up unless they wanted to. And then we prayed with them, sometimes team by team by team. And do you know what one team was there? Does Parkland, Florida ring a bell? Parkland, Florida, where that mass shooting occurred. That team was in our church from that school. Trying to get back on their feet after so many of their friends had been murdered. We gathered them to a side and I said, "I don't understand what happened. But I know there's a God who can see you through." And then we prayed. This prayer ends with a doxology. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What is it that you are praying for today? Please, God, if it be your will, give it. Now to him who is able to give immeasurably more than all we can ask or even fathom in our wildest imaginations. This is the God who is powerful, and that work of power is within us for his glory. So today, look up. Lift up your countenance. Our God reigns within us. And the power that raised him from the grave is at work within us. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, thank you, Lord God, for a prayer that can serve as a model for us, rich in theology, filled with concern for someone else, lilting with the glory of God. Oh, precious Jesus, precious Jesus, precious Jesus, may we grasp hold of this word from God. We pray this now in the strong and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now, please don't reach for your hymnal. I'm going to be very brief. I believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask a point-blank question out of love and out of courage. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you given your heart to him? Is he who is the center of your life? Jesus has a table, and your name is on that seat. He wants you to invite you to his table. He's got a feast prepared for you, and he wants to look you eye to eye, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is who he is. But you must come by way of repentance, of asking God to forgive you of sin, and then to receive the gift, which is Jesus Christ. If you say, I need that, but I don't know how, I'm going to be down front. I will be here at the conclusion of the service as long as you want to talk, because I believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to your problems. And believers, are we living in the reality of what this prayer says? That he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I want to ask you to take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 602. I will not prolong the invitation, but if God is leading you to step out on the first note that our instrumentalists play, step out, come to the altar and pray. Step out, come take my hand. Don't sit there when God says move. Let's stand now and let's sing.
You have taught me it is so. I thank you for how so many of you realize that you have a ministry within the church to serve God's people, and you have a mission to the world. Our own Louise Barbary led us yesterday to feed close to 330 people. Anybody like to prepare a table that big? And 15 plus people showed up, and they were senior adults. I mean, they showed up and they showed out. We have an incredible church. And I say, praise be to God. Eric Vance received a phone call yesterday no parent wants to receive. His son, he's either 22 or 23, was killed in an automobile wreck. There are children here who are hurting because of decisions parents have made. There are those who are facing addictions. There are those who have choices to make. You never know what the person next to you is going through. So say a kind word, put a hand upon the shoulder, and lift them up to God Almighty. Let's pray together. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, you love us, don't you? And you want to fill us up in our inner being with the same power that burst you from the grave. But somehow, God, is hard to take hold of that. We've had so many disappointments. We operate out of human power instead of divine power. Oh God, let us wrestle with you till we grasp hold of this word. And it change our lives. We pray this now in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.